The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 23, verses 26 through 31. It is Luke chapter 23, verses 26 through 31. Allow me to read the words of God. As the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the childless women, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if people do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Amen. When David was about 15 years old, he was anointed by the prophet Samuel as the man to succeed King Saul. However, this didn't mean that he ascended to the throne immediately. David lived as a fugitive for a long time, avoiding the threat posed by his master and father-in-law, King Saul, to kill him. Finally, when David was 30 years old, he ascended the throne in Hebron and ruled Israel's southern region of Judah for 7 years and 6 months. And after King Saul died, the elders of the northern tribes of Israel came to him and asked him to become their king. So he became a king in name and also in reality, ruling over all of Israel. And the Ark of the Covenant was also moved to Jerusalem. And God promised to David the following: "Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever." So, not only during David's time, but also for generations of his descendants, David's dynasty seemed like it would enjoy peace and prosperity. However, instead of being on the battlefield where he should have been, David ended up walking on the rooftop of the royal palace and did something he should not have done. Because of that incident, not only did he suffer terribly, but his family had to endure the smell of blood from the tragic wielding of the sword, and relations between family members were torn to pieces. And his son Absalom stole the hearts of the people who were supposed to follow his father David, and eventually led a rebellion and took over the city of David. The fact that Absalom pointed his sword at David meant that he did not recognize his father as his father and the king as his king. This is clearly stated in 2 Samuel chapters 15 through 19. There is a very dramatic scene in chapter 17. Absalom had a servant named Ahithophel, who was a very talented strategist. He was originally a servant of David, but when Absalom rebelled, he joined Absalom. His strategies were so brilliant that David and Absalom regarded his advice equivalent to the words of God. Ahithophel suggested the following to Absalom. This is 2 Samuel chapter 17, verses 1 through 5, 3. Ahithophel said to Absalom, I would choose 12,000 men and set out tonight in pursuit of David. I would attack him while he is weary and weak. I would strike him with terror, and then all the people with him will flee. I would strike down only the king and bring all the people back to you. The death of the man you seek will mean the return of all. If this plan was followed, it was surefire that Absalom would take over the throne. And Absalom, as well as the elders of Israel, thought this was a good strategy. But suddenly, Absalom asked to hear the story of Hushai. As a servant of David, he did not flee but had remained in the royal palace. But Hushai said the operation was not good. This is 2 Samuel chapter 17, verses 8 through 10. You know your father and his men. They are fighters and as fierce as a wild bear robbed of her cubs. Besides, your father is an experienced fighter. He will not spend the night with the troops. Even now, he is hidden in a cave or some other place. If you attack your troops first, whoever hears about it will say, there has been a slaughter among the troops who follow Absalom. Then even the bravest soldier, whose heart is like the heart of the lion, will melt with fear, for all Israel knows that your father is a fighter and those with him are brave. Hushai said that the people with the king's father were warriors and that they were as angry as bears that had lost their cubs, so that it would not be appropriate to hastily approach them. Also, the king's father was a man accustomed to war, so he did not sleep with the troops, but was hiding in some cave, so it would be difficult to find him. And even if a few of their soldiers were killed by David, rumors would spread that the soldiers who followed Absalom had been defeated. So, in his opinion, he said he would have a chance of victory if he gathered soldiers from all over the country and attacked all at once the place where David's people were hiding. This proposal was nonsensical because its purpose was to give David time to escape while Absalom gathered his soldiers. Nevertheless, Absalom followed Hushai's strategy, not Ahithophel's. The reason was the following. This is 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 14. Absalom and all the men of Israel said, "The advice of Hushai the Archite is better than that of Ahithophel, for the Lord had determined to frustrate the good advice of Ahithophel in order to bring disaster on Absalom." God stood on the side of Hushai and not Ahithophel. It is as if God had lifted David's hand instead of Absalom's hand. Hushai went to Zadok and Abiathar, the priests, and told them what had happened thus far and asked them to send someone to tell King David to cross the river and escape. It was the responsibility of Ahimaaz, son of Zadok, and Jonathan, son of Abiathar, to convey these matters to David. The two were waiting outside Jerusalem to avoid being noticed. Then a female servant would tell them what happened in the palace, and they would go to David and tell him. But this time, it was discovered before the news could be delivered. So Ahimaaz and Jonathan fled to Bahurim, about 6 kilometers northeast of Jerusalem, and hid in a well of a house. Then the woman of the house covered the well with a cover and laid some grain on top. This didn't seem like a big deal, but in fact, it was something that required risking not only one's own life, but also the lives of the woman's entire family. After a while, Absalom's soldiers arrived and asked, "Where are Ahimaaz and Jonathan?" Then the woman said, "They were crossing the brook." After Absalom's soldiers left, the two men who came out went to David and told him everything. And everyone who was with David was able to safely cross the Jordan River. Later, when Ahithophel saw that his strategy did not work out, he returned to his hometown and committed suicide by hanging himself. The Bible does not say the name of the woman who saved Ahimaaz and Jonathan from danger by covering the well where they hid. God worked through this unnamed woman and the seemingly small task of covering a well. However, it was an important role, a crucial link in King David's escape and his return to the kingdom. How happy would that woman have been to see David ascend to the throne again? Also, how grateful would she have been for God's grace for using her for his plan? Acts chapter 23 also testifies about a person whom God used as a conduit. The Apostle Paul, who came to Jerusalem after completing his third missionary journey, was arrested by radical Jews for desecrating the temple. The Jews took Paul to the commander-in-chief and to the Jerusalem council to have him sentenced to death, but they were unable to achieve their goal. Nevertheless, the Jews did not give up until the end. There were about 40 people who decided not to eat or drink until they killed Paul. They went to the Jerusalem council and explained their plan to assassinate Paul. At the time, Jewish law had a provision that stated, if a person poses a threat to public life or morals, he or she may be killed. So they thought it was right to get rid of Paul because they thought he was a threat to their faith. They conspired with the chief priests and elders, saying, "Work with the Jerusalem council, pretending to find out more accurately what is going on about Paul, and petition the commander to bring Paul before you. We are ready to kill him before he gets here." When this conspiracy was being plotted, there was a person whom God used. This is Acts chapter 23, verse 16. But when the son of Paul's sister heard of this plot, he went into the barracks and told Paul. The plot to kill Paul became known through Paul's sister's son. Just as God protected David's life and ensured that the royal family of David would not be cut off through the unknown woman who covered the well, God protected Paul's life and allowed his ministry of spreading the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ to continue through his nephew. Paul's nephew is not named and only appears in Acts chapter 23 in the Bible. We do not know whether he originally lived in Jerusalem, whether he came to Jerusalem for study or work, or how he learned of his uncle's murder plot. But God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and God's ways are higher than our ways. So the work of God, the Creator, is truly mysterious to us as creations. Today's passage also tells of a figure God worked through. Governor Pilate interrogated Jesus twice. However, he could not confirm the crimes Jesus of Nazareth was accused of by the high priests and religious leaders and groups of Jews, which was deceiving people, encouraging them not to pay taxes to the Emperor Caesar, and furthermore, falsely calling himself king. So he said he would have Jesus beaten and released. However, religious leaders in the crowd raised their voices, calling for Barabbas to be released. Barabbas was the leader of a rebellion and a murderer. The crowd raised their voices, demanding that Barabbas be released and Jesus be crucified. In the end, the sound overwhelmed Governor Pilate. Also, Pilate, who was very ambitious, was afraid of being pushed out of his position due to complaints from the Jews. So he sentenced Jesus to crucifixion according to the people's wishes. A prisoner sentenced to death by crucifixion had to do two things. One was to be whipped, and the other was to carry the cross that he was to bear. It is said that there are three types of flogging and whipping that the Roman Empire inflicted on criminals at the time. The first is fustes, which comes from the word stick or club and was mainly used against people who had committed minor sins. The second is flagella, which was a whipping given to someone who had committed a serious crime. And the third is verbera, which was a whipping given to the worst criminals, including prisoners sentenced to crucifixion. The purpose of this whipping was to hasten the death of a prisoner sentenced to crucifixion. So it was unspeakably cruel. Typically, a whip was made of 9 strands of leather and an animal bone or metal object such as lead was attached to the end of the whip so that when the whip was swung and when it wrapped around the body and was released, flesh would tear. Jesus, sentenced to be crucified, would have suffered these scourgings. It is said that the cross on which the prisoner hung at the time weighed approximately 120 kilograms to 150 kilograms, so it was almost impossible for the prisoner to carry the entire cross. So he was made to carry only the horizontal bar of the 2 bars of the cross. Additionally, the prisoner was to take as far a route as possible to reach the place of crucifixion. So the route went around the main roads as well as alleys and side streets. And because a soldier walked ahead of the inmate with a sign with the crime written on it, it served as a dire warning to those who saw the sign, because especially to anyone who might commit a crime like the one on death row. However, the soldiers realized that Jesus was very tired from the interrogation and torture he had been subjected to all night while carrying the cross, and he was so exhausted he could no longer carry it. After finishing the last Passover meal with his disciples, Jesus headed straight to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. After completing a desperate prayer there, he was arrested. He was then tortured and interrogated in the houses of the two high priests, Annas and Caiaphas. He was later interrogated at the residence of Governor Pilate. Then he went again to King Herod, where he was interrogated and tortured. Then he was brought again to Governor Pilate and sentenced to death. Jesus could not sleep at all throughout the night and was dragged from place to place, interrogated and tortured. Then he was whipped, so he could not carry the cross. So a person was called over. This is verse 26 of today's passage. As the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. At that time, Israel was a colony of the Roman Empire, so anyone could be conscripted by force for the Roman Empire. A form of requisition was when a soldier of a Roman Empire would tap someone on the shoulder with a spear blade. Roman soldiers see someone who would bear Jesus' cross. He was a man named Simon, who had just arrived in Jerusalem from Cyrene. The verse tells that Simon had no choice but to bear the cross, even though he did not want to and tried to refuse. So in the Gospels of Matthew and Mark, it is said that Simon forcibly carried the cross of Jesus. It means he was forcibly conscripted. Cyrene is a city in northeastern Africa corresponding to Tripoli, the current capital of Libya. It is about 2,800 kilometers from Cyrene to Jerusalem. At a time when there were no special means of transportation other than walking, it was a distance that would take at least a month to reach. The Bible does not reveal why Simon visited Jerusalem. We do not know whether he came for a tour, for business, or because he was interested in Judaism and came for the Passover. If he was of Jewish descent or had converted to Judaism, he would have been a pilgrim who visited Jerusalem to observe the Passover. The Jews divided the world into 10 concentric circles centered on the temple in Jerusalem. They thought that the further away one was from the sanctuary of the temple, the less pure the holiness was. So people who lived far away from Jerusalem and mixed among the Gentiles were thought to be unholy. Jews living in foreign lands wanted to celebrate the Passover in Jerusalem at least once in their lives. And one of their greatest wishes was to earn money and live near the Temple of Jerusalem when they were older and be buried there. The Bible does not say what led Simon from Cyrene to Jerusalem, but it does tell us a little about what happened to his family after he was forced to carry the cross. The first of the Gospels to be recorded was the Gospel of Mark. It was written about 30 years after Jesus ascended to heaven. In fact, when Simon carried the cross for Jesus, no one would have known who he was. But when the gospel was written, he was somewhat known to the people. This is Mark chapter 15, verse 21. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. Simon had two children, whose names are Alexander and Rufus. And one of those two sons appears in Romans. This is Romans chapter 16, verse 13. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Paul asked Rufus and his mother to greet him, and wrote that Rufus's mother was like his own mother. It seems that Rufus's mother took very good care of Paul. Paul would have been around 50 years old at the time. Then Rufus's mother would have been at least 60 years old or older, based on the average life expectancy at the time. Simon is believed to have already passed away, and Alexander is presumed not to be in Rome. Paul greets a total of 33 people in Romans chapter 16. They were workers who faithfully served God in the Roman church. However, among the 33, Rufus and his mother are the only ones with the modifier, chosen in the Lord. We can fully understand why the Apostle Paul used this expression to describe the family of Simon from Cyrene. Rufus's father, Simon, originally had no intention of believing in Jesus for some reason, or to celebrate the Passover at the temple in Jerusalem at least once during his lifetime. He went to Jerusalem and went to look on a death row inmate who was to be executed, and was forcefully made to bear the cross of the inmate. How must it have been like for him? He would have shouted this to the people watching him: "I am not guilty. I have nothing to do with this person. When the Roman soldier tells me to bear the cross, I bear it in the place of this prisoner." However, some time later, through a certain process, Simon came to realize that the person for whom he took up the cross was none other than the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth to give eternal life to himself and others. So, when Simon was first forced to carry the cross, he would have said out loud, "Why me?" It may have carried resentment, anger, and failure to understand. Simon may not have been able to do whatever he had visited Jerusalem to do. But later, when he realized who the cross belonged to and why he came to this earth, he would have said out loud, "Why me?" This time, it would have been a feeling of emotion and gratitude as to why he and not someone else was allowed to receive such grace. Also, if you look at this process from the perspective of the family of Simon of Cyrene, the husband and father who returned from Jerusalem returned home a completely different person from before. At first, they may not have understood what Simon would have said after he returned. They would not have understood what the cross was, what it meant to carry it on Jesus' behalf, what the Savior meant, and what it meant to be chosen by God. Then, after opening their eyes to the Lord, they realized who their husband and father had met. And although it was as if he had been forced to carry the cross, they realized that it was because God had specially chosen him. How happy would they have been about the salvation of their household that took place in this way? How grateful must they have been for their husband and their father, who became their path to eternal life. Then the family left Cyrene and met the Apostle Paul in the city, and they had a close relationship, like family. They later moved to Rome, where they became part of the church community and served the Lord and people. In fact, we are all like Simon of Cyrene. Haven't you followed your parents, your children, and your friends without knowing what the gospel is or what the church does, only to find out about eternal life? Didn't you drive your family to church and back, and then at some point found it bothersome to go home and come back, so you decide to wait in the car, only to find it stuffy, so that eventually you came into the church and sat in the corner, only to be amazed at God's love? The people who met the Lord this way are Simon Kim, Simon Lee, and Simon Park. I am also Simon Jong. And that is how I came to this place. Although we all have different stories, we are here today because we were chosen by the Lord. If we accept by faith that the fact that we have become God's people and are in the place of worship and serving God today is a result of God's selection and guidance, then let us accept with faith that He will watch over us in our lives after this moment until the day we breathe our last on this earth, that He will guide us. Even if we think we are in a superior position than others, let us not be arrogant and focus our whole lives on the Lord. On the contrary, even if we consider ourselves weak and insignificant, let us not be caught up in inferiority or underestimate ourselves, but serve God faithfully in the places of our lives. God chose a person who no one paid attention to, a woman living in Barim, to continue the royal line of David. And He chose Paul's nephew, who was in Jerusalem, to continue Paul's ministry, even though 3,000 years, 2,000 years have passed since their actions, which appeared insignificant. God makes us remember their lives. Also, God brought amazing salvation to the family of Simon from Cyrene by selecting him to bear the cross, and showed us as a sample how mysterious God's work is. If we recognize that we are God's chosen people and faithfully walk the life provided to us, even after we leave this world, our lives will be an example of God's selection to others. what is clear is that the Lord we believe in is the one who overcame the power of death, was resurrected, and is the eternal victor. Let us pray. Father God, when King David was fleeing a rebellion, Ahimaaz and Jonathan, who had brought news from the royal palace, were in danger and hid in a well. They did not know the name of the woman who covered the well, but it is clear that the woman was chosen by God. Also, when the Apostle Paul was threatened with death, especially when there were about 40 people who said they would not eat or drink until they killed Paul, we do not know the name of Paul's nephew who told the commander about the situation or why he was in Jerusalem. But it is also clear that he had been chosen by God. Just as God called Simon of Cyrene in his own way, we are thankful that he has called us as well. Why did God make us be born into a family of faith and go to church at an early age? Why did God make us be born into a family of non-believers and make us come to church later than others? Although we didn't understand in the past why each of us had to go through such processes and why we had to take the path we took, we understand now. We know that it was so that we could all meet Jesus through that process. There are still parts in our life that we cannot understand, but we trust in God who works for the good through this process. In this way, may each of our lives become a sample showing God's selection, and may our entire lives be a work of art that God has created and continues to create. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.